I'm Michael Schneider, senior editor for Variety.
I'm Joe Adalian, West Coast editor for Vulture. This is Screen Grab.
So, Joe, if you watched the Oscars on Sunday night, although looking at the ratings, not a lot of you did, but for those of you who did, you no doubt saw a lot of ads for Disney Plus. And of course, the Oscars were on Disney-owned ABC this year, so that sort of made sense. And Joe, we recently got an update about Disney Plus and exactly how many people have signed up. It's off to a strong start, right?
I mean, there are now more paid subscribers to Disney Plus, almost 30 million, than there were Oscar viewers this year. So, it's doing pretty well. We knew that Disney Plus was going to do well. We already knew that it had 10 million subscribers after day one. There's obviously a big deal with Verizon that's given it another 4 to 5 million homes. But to be in almost 30 million homes, sort of on just behind only Netflix and Amazon and right on par with Hulu after such a short amount of time, it's a stunning success for Disney.
Yeah, it's a huge number. And, a lot of the draw, of course, is the library content, all the Disney movies, all the fabulous shows that are already in their library, and then one or two big shows, new shows like The Mandalorian. But I've heard from a lot of people who say, The Mandalorian, it came and went, it was great, but they haven't seen a lot of new content since then. And so that brings up the question is, will we start to see more churn? Will people start to drop off from their Disney Plus subscriptions now that there isn't that big buzzy Mandalorian, at least, and the new other shows that are coming, including some of the new Marvel shows, but not until toward the end of this year. So in the meantime, Joe, aren't we going to see some churn? Are we going to see some drop-offs? Is that number stable?
I think it'll continue to actually go up. We saw some good news for Disney, which is that in the month of January, it had another 2 million subscribers or so, roughly, even after Mandalorian had wrapped its run. And I think Disney was smart in a couple ways. First of all, they really heavily advertised the one-year and even three-year options, so people were able to lock in subscriptions at a discounted rate. If you subscribe for a year, it costs less. The other great thing that Disney has done, the smart thing, the savvy thing, is they've packaged it together as a bundle with Hulu and ESPN Plus, encouraging people to sort of get a discounted rate if you subscribe to all three. And that sort of encourages people to stay in the Disney ecosystem. Hulu is something which Disney owns and was doing quite well. It also saw a big boost in subscribers last year. And by moving them together under one roof, it's sort of encouraging people to, hey, this is what Disney can offer you for $13 a month. Even if there's not always something right away early on with Disney Plus, you know something good is coming. Your kids will continue to want it. Stay around. So, and I think that combined with the fact that some of these services are so new, there are going to be plenty of people who have not yet subscribed for The Mandalorian but want to see what the Baby Yoda fuss is all about. I think they're going to continue to have growth. The question is, will the rate of growth be as big as Disney needs it to be?
Yeah, I think the other smart thing that they're doing is they're really sort of clarifying now what Disney Plus is versus Hulu. So Disney Plus, it's very clear now. It's the family-friendly, the family-oriented streaming service. So there are certain things that even are too edgy from Nat Geo that won't run on Disney Plus, but instead will be on Hulu. So Disney Plus, they just announced that they're developing a Turner and Hooch reboot. So that's the kind of programming that they're doing over at Disney Plus. Meanwhile, Hulu, as you've seen from a lot of those promos recently, that's going to be the home for the FX content, including that original FX on Hulu content that we've been talking a lot about. The freeform content lives there, the edgier stuff. So for the grown-ups, you got the Hulu, and for the grown-ups with kids, you got to have the Disney Plus on top of it. So, Joe, what are we thinking in terms of growth strategy now for Hulu? Hulu's been around for a while. I mean, it's been around, in some ways earlier than Netflix, but it only feels like now that they finally have this strategy where we're hearing a lot more about it. I mean, clearly they've had great content for a while, like The Handmaid's Tale, which even won an Emmy. But nonetheless, now that Disney is fully in control, does it feel like they have a real sort of strategy now in terms of both programming but also subscribers?
I think they do. I think they've made some changes in terms of the executive ranks. You know, you're seeing people who, of course, Randy Freer, who ran Hulu for the last couple of years, has left the company now. That was also announced last week. And so that's going to mean sort of just more consolidation under the Disney empire. And I think you're going to continue to see the other parts of the Disney empire sort of work more closely with Hulu. I think you're going to see ABC shows, which already are the next day on Hulu. There might be some more crossover there. And I think you're going to see more investment in original programming for Hulu, more adult programming, and continue to see more movies. They just closed a big deal at Sundance to do the new Lonely Island movie, and they've had other previous movie deals like the one with Neon, which is the maker of Parasite, this year's winner for Best Picture. That's going to be coming to Hulu later this year. So I think we'll see Disney sort of funneling more original pictures onto Hulu through its Searchlight arm. So I think the future for Hulu is going to be big, big things.
Arming up for the streaming wars. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Joe Adalian of Vulture, and I'm Michael Schneider of Variety, and this is Screen Grab.